Indeed, it's our prayer that the Spirit of the living God would fall afresh on us this day. Not only is this Memorial Day weekend, but this is also Trinity Sunday. And so as we explore the nuances, the depth, the meaning, the Word of God in terms of God the Creator, God the Savior, God the Holy Spirit, we do trust and pray that the Spirit of God would fall afresh on us, melting us, molding us, filling us this day. Today, as we begin this series focusing on the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to hear these words that form the beginning and the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so listen to these words from Matthew chapter 5, and then from Matthew chapter 7 and 8. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he taught them. Therefore, Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not like their teachers of the law. When Jesus came down the mountainside, large crowds followed him. These are the words of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, for us this day. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, this day, help us to better understand. Help us to hear your words. Help those words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to fill us and melt us and mold us. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please be seated.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
So, what did you hear? Did you all hear Laurel today? Did anybody hear Yanni?
No.
Yes, look at that. Quite a few heard Yanni. And those of you who heard Yanni can't believe that the rest of us heard Laurel, can you? And those of us who heard Laurel cannot believe you possibly. Are you pulling our leg? Really? You heard Yanni in that? It's a phenomena that just came across in our country recently, wasn't it? That audio clip in which some of us hear Laurel very clearly, and others of us hear Yanni very clearly. So what is that all about? And here's the deal. Those of us who have heard one or the other can't believe that the others really heard the other, can we? Audiologists will tell us that depending that as you take a look at the audio frequency of both those words, Laurel and Yanni, that they're almost identical. And that seems hard to believe as well, doesn't it? That those two words, they seem so different, Laurel and Yanni, and yet they're almost identical. Well, today we're going to talk about spiritual hearing. And we're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. And it's very difficult for some people who hear the same exact words of Jesus to believe that others hear those words differently. In fact, there is a component of the Sermon on the Mount that feels like it's upside down. Or is it really right side up? Jesus comes to us and he speaks words of truth from God's word that seems to many to be upside down kind of thinking. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What's that? Those are the first words of teaching that Jesus speaks. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Isn't that upside down kind of thinking? Jesus wants us to understand and to hear that that is right side up thinking. That the kingdom culture that Jesus is bringing into our world is heard differently by different ones among us. He wants us to hear it in the way that God intends for us to hear it. And so this day, as we consider that, we want you to think about the Sermon on the Mount being like Jesus' State of the Kingdom address. It truly is his State of the Kingdom culture address. This is what the state of God's kingdom is all about. And many times, God's kingdom goes countercultural to our world kind of kingdom thinking, doesn't it? We hear things in our world today that go very much countercultural to blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When was the last time we heard our politicians talk that way? Well, hopefully we have heard them talk that way, but even those words are heard so differently, aren't they? So what is it about God's word, and what is it about the Sermon on the Mount that God would want us to hear today? I'm going to suggest that a phrase that we have used a lot here at Good Shepherd is one that might be helpful. And hopefully we can hear it in a way together today that makes sense to all of us, that we'll hear it the same way. One of the phrases that we use often here is keeping the main thing the main thing. How do we keep the main thing the main thing? What was it that Jesus wanted us to hear about keeping the main thing the main thing? I think the Sermon on the Mount's a good place to start, a great starting point. And I would encourage you this week to open up your Bibles and to take a look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, those three powerful chapters, and see what it is that God has to say to you, how it is that you hear God's word this Memorial Day weekend into this coming week. I also want to suggest to you that one of the ways in which we truly hear these words of the Sermon on the Mount is by hearing them through what we know as the two greats in Scripture. What are the two greats? The two greats in Scripture are the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. I think the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, let me at least suggest for you, are great filters for how we hear the Sermon on the Mount. What is the Great Commandment? The Great Commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And, said Jesus, you should love your neighbor as yourself. God wants us to hear the Sermon on the Mount in that context. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And then the Great Commission is go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, says Jesus. In James chapter 2, verse 5, Jack, you read so well. Thank you for reading those words from James so intentionally for us today. Those words that come to us are these words. Let me remind you what Jackie read. has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? Doesn't that feel like upside down thinking? But according to God's thinking, God's hearing, God's desire for us to understand, that's right side up thinking. God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith. And what's the consequence? To inherit the kingdom that God has promised for those who love him. Not all of the things that Jesus had were heard in the way that God intended them to be heard. And so I ask the question, what are the voices to which you are listening? What are the voices that we listen to and that sink into us? What are the voices? We have the voices of the media. We have the voices of our politicians. We have the voices of those in our household. We have the voices of those in our church. We have the voices of those in our community. What are the voices that we are listening to? And how is it that God desires for us to listen? You should know that not all the things that Jesus had to say were well received. In John chapter 6, verse 60 and verse 66, it says this: upon hearing these things from Jesus, many of them thought, this is a hard teaching, and they no longer followed him. Some of those who heard, as you heard in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, after hearing what Jesus had to say when he came down from the mountainside, what does the Bible say? Large crowds followed him. There were many who heard what he had to say, and they knew that they wanted to not only hear but follow what Jesus was saying. On the other hand, there were many who heard what he had to say, found those to be hard teachings, and they no longer could follow. So how do we respond to the voices to which we listen? Fact of the matter is, we don't always hear things the same way, do we? Many of us heard that the temperatures were going to be in the high 80s and into the 90s this weekend, and we thought, great, finally, pool time, party time, barbecue time, while others among us heard that news and thought, oh no, that's too hot. We heard the same thing, but we responded differently. Many this weekend heard about the temperatures and thought, great, let's have that family barbecue. And others among us thought, oh no, that means the whole family will be able to come. Do we really want Crazy Louie to come again? You know, we hear the same thing, but it's received differently. Many of us know that this is Memorial Day weekend, and our hearts are warmed by the memories, and we know that this is a significant and meaningful weekend, not only for individuals, but for us as a nation. Others hear the news about Memorial Day, and their hearts are filled with sadness, because they're called to remember again someone whom they miss so dearly. And so the same news received differently. It happens over and over and over again. How do we hear and receive the message of Jesus in the way that God desires for us to hear it? Well, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Then he goes on to say, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. How do we hear God's words? Do we put them into practice? Have we allowed God and God's word to be our rock, to be our foundation? That's the context in which Jesus wants us to hear his word. So this past weekend, last weekend, many of us had opportunity to go to a Feed My Starving Children gala. And at that event, we heard story after story about the work that Feed My Starving Children has been able to do because of the generosity of oh so many. And there was a time in which Feed My Starving Children was doing okay. This is many, many years ago. They were doing all right. They were feeding many people. In fact, they were going from 1 million to 2 million meals. They were going up gradually. And then one day, the leader said, you know what? We are founded on Jesus Christ as our rock. Enough of trying to please everyone, of trying to send our message. We need to proclaim that we're doing this in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's where our source of power and resources is going to come from. And at that moment, and you can take a look at the charts, at that moment, the number of meals began to grow exponentially. They have set goal after goal that are on their knees kinds of goals. Why? Because they believe that God would provide. Why? Because they believe that God cared for his starving children. Why? Because they believe that they were being called. Why? Because they believe that they had heard God to care for the least of these among us. They believed with all their hearts that this was God's word and that God's word was coming to them, and they needed to put this word into practice. And they did all of this because they founded the ministry on the rock, Jesus Christ. And every year, as the number of meals to feed starving children has grown exponentially, they now have reached a goal where this coming year they're going to be producing 365 million meals this coming year. And if you do the math on that, you know that's a million meals per day. A million meals per day. Because they've built their ministry on the rock, Jesus Christ, trusting that God will provide so that we can care for God's starving children. Today is Memorial Day weekend. We know that. You've heard that. I received a letter this week from one of our veterans. And I read this letter in the context of how is it that we hear different things. And he put some things into context for me in this letter that he sent me this week. Memorial Day is a difficult holiday to express for some of us veterans. The obvious is that it's a day of solemn respect for our soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen who were killed in combat defending our country. One of those soldiers who died for our country was Lieutenant Gary Scull. This last week, this veteran and his wife went to Washington, D.C., and as they were visiting the museums and the memorials, they went to the Vietnam Wall because Gary Scull was killed in Vietnam. They found his name engraved there. They made an etching, and then as he had gotten up from kneeling down in front of that to do the etching, he got up and standing near Lieutenant Scull's panel was an Asian woman. She asked him if it was a relative or a friend whose name was on the wall. I explained the history of Lieutenant Scull. She spoke with tears in her eyes and said she was sorry. She was sorry for his death and proceeded to thank him and all those who had served in Vietnam. She was Vietnamese, and she was a boat person. She escaped Vietnam in 1979. She settled in San Francisco, has a family and a career. Her company sent her to Washington, D.C. for a business conference. She said that while in D.C., she had to pay homage and visit the wall and give her thanks. I was humbled by her humility and thankful for this woman's gratitude. I never expected a total stranger to reach out to me and to say, thank you. Maybe Memorial Day is just that. To stop for a moment and to say thank you to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And then he put this in the context of John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He put his service in the context of what Jesus Christ had done for him, because Jesus Christ is his rock, and his desire is to not only hear the words of Jesus, but to put those words into practice. This coming summer, Good Shepherd is going to engage in a time of generosity we call a summer of serving. It's going to be a generosity of our time and our talents in which we truly engage. That's what FIRST is all about. If you've not ministered in a particular way ever before, consider a first time of doing that. This is going to be a summer of serving. How is it that we hear the words of God and put them into practice? So at the 11 o'clock service today, Nancy Wearsome is going to come, and we're going to have a conversation about the ministry in which Good Shepherd is involved at Loaves and Fishes. And this last week, I had an opportunity to talk with Nancy, and she told me story after story after story of how that ministry has touched people's lives in our community. Because she said, Pastor Gary, believe it or not, even in Naperville, Illinois, a city of affluence, a city that's been ranked as the most kid-friendly city of 100,000 people or more time and time again, a city in which we have been so blessed, in this community, we have hungry people. In this community, we have people who are struggling. In this community, we have all kinds of situations in which we need to minister, to put the words of Jesus that we hear into practice. And she said that one day, as they were serving a family, a single woman and her children, one day after they had served that family, that woman said to the person who had been volunteering, just caring for her, she said, I see God in you. It was a humbling moment for that person, that volunteer. I wonder, when was the last time somebody came to you and said, I see God in you? Have you had that experience? I hope so. If not, I hope that this summer of serving is an opportunity in which you serve because you've heard the word of God and God has spoken to you in such a way that you want to put those words into practice. And somebody comes to you and says, I see God in you. I believe that's what happens when the Holy Spirit molds us and melts us and fills us. It's not of us, it's of and from God. But when God uses us to hear his word and to put his words into practice by the power of the Spirit, then others can see God in us. So what are you going to learn this summer? What things are you going to learn from the Sermon on the Mount this summer? How are the things and ways in which you're going to put those words into practice? Does God have authority in your life like he did in the gospel we heard today, in the lives of those people? Will you hear Laurel or Yanni this day? That doesn't matter so much. What does matter is how we hear the word of God, how God inspires and enables us to put that word into practice, and what a difference it makes so that others can see God through us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, this day, help us to hear your word. Help us to put your word into practice because you have allowed us to build our foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen.